Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Medino.
This morning, I want to share with you, as I'm going to continue, if you have your Bibles with you, if you would go with me to 1 Samuel. First Samuel, chapter 7. Hallelujah. Verse 13. I don't know if you've noticed, but the lights that were here previously are taken off, the round ones. So we got the new lights now. Amen. Do I look lighter now, skin? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm just joking. Praise God. God is faithful. And God is good. Amen. And thank you. In verse 13... it reads, so the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Let's read it once again. Verse 13. So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The title of my message today is Victory and Gratitude. Amen. Victory and Gratitude. And we're going to see how God gave them victory, but Samuel was also showed a spirit of gratitude. And we're going to see the way he did it. If last week, in verse 12, in the whole message that I preach, I did not get to verse 12. In the Spanish service, I did. We see how God had given Israel victory. The moment that Israel came back to the Lord and they repented of their sins, when they recognized that they were far away from God, the Bible says that through Samuel, God used Samuel, and Samuel told all the people of Israel, you know what? We have been wrong. We need to repent, and we need to come back to God. Because he's the only one that's going to give us victory. And as we read, for 20 years, they had departed from God. And because of that, there was no presence of God. In other words, there was no winning in life. They were just losing. All the battles, they would lose against the Philistines. And I don't know about you, but in life, we don't want to lose. We want to win. And thank God for leadership. Thank God for men and women of God that will stand up. And when they see, they recognize and say, you know what? Something's not right here. And that's what Samuel did. Samuel said, you know what? The reason why we're not winning
We're not winning battles. We don't have victories because we're far away from God. We're not serving God the way we know how to serve Him. So the Bible says that they repented, they came back to God, and the moment they repented, God began to give them victory. They began to win in life. They were winning battles. And in verse 12, the Bible says, because that's what you're going to see about Samuel. It says that Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." In other words, the name Ebenezer means up to this point, the Lord God has helped us. And church, we need to recognize that it's God that has helped you and has helped me to win, to overcome, and to recognize that without God, we're nothing. And so in verse 13, again, the title is Victory and Gratitude. The Bible says that the Philistines were subdued. In other words, now they were under control. The Philistines, this time, they were not going to take over. Israel was now taking over because God was on their side. And God began to give them victory over the Philistines. And many believe, hear me what I'm going to say, that even though the Bible says that the Philistines were subdued, which means they were under control, and the Bible says, and they did not come anymore into the territory of Israel. I mean, think about that. For a lot of years, Philistines, they would come in, and they would just take over their territory. I mean, they would just take everything that belonged to Israel. But now the Bible says that this time it says that they were subdued and they did not come anymore into the territory of Israel. And the Bible says, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Now, many believe that even though they were winning, because they had came back to God, it is believed that the Philistines, the enemies, they were not completely destroyed. But for the moment, the Philistines could not do anything because they were under control because of God. Do you get the picture? What I'm saying is, church, that in life, in your walk with God, there's going to be times where things are going to pop up suddenly. Amen? Things are going to pop up in your life. But let me tell you this. It's always better, though, to be on God's side, doing God's will, that even though whatever pops up, God will always give us victory. And see, many believe that they were not destroyed completely. But in the meantime, because Israel had repented, they had come back to God, they were walking with God, now the hand of God was upon Israel. In other words, the favor of God was upon Israel. His power was with Israel. And at the same time, the Philistines could not mess with Israel. It reminds me of, in the gospel, the New Testament, the Bible says that Jesus was tested in the desert. And while he's in the desert, the devil comes along and he tries to tempt Jesus. And every time that the devil offered a temptation to Jesus, Jesus would always reply back and he would say, "It is written." In other words, he would say, "You know what? This is what the word of God says, devil." How many know that it's important to decree or declare the word of God? And when you see the last time when the devil came and he tempted Jesus, the Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 12, it says this, "And Jesus answered and said to him, It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. But I want you to get this. And then it says, now when the devil, it says, when the devil had ended every temptation. In other words, I mean, he did everything he could to tempt Jesus. Notice that the Bible says he departed from him until an opportune time. In other words, is that at that moment he knew he couldn't do everything. But what it means that later on he's going to try it again. Are you hearing me this morning, church? It's the same thing. The Philistines, they were not destroyed completely. That which that meant was at any time later on in the future, they're going to try to come back and try to attack or try to tempt. Amen? But you got to know, church, that it's always better to walk with God. It's always better to serve God. It's always better to be in alignment with God. Because you will find out right away that God will fight for you. You will know that God is on your side. You will know that you are not alone. You will find out that it is God that helps you to overcome anything in this life. Amen. So what I want to tell you, church, this morning, that it's always better with Jesus. Amen. And let me tell you something. It gets harder without Jesus. But it's better with Jesus. Because with Jesus, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And it says, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. But notice it says, all the days of Samuel. I like that because that means that as long as Samuel was around, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. That means there was leadership. Samuel was a leader. And because he was a leader, Samuel knew that he knew how important it was to walk with God. See, many of you, it might not be by a title, but in a sense, you are a leader. You're a leader in your home. Amen. You're a leader in your family. You might be a leader in your workplace. You might be a leader in church ministry. Whatever it is, but someone has to stand up, church. Amen. Someone has to say, you know what? When we're wrong, we're wrong. When we're blessed, we are blessed. When we're doing right, we are doing right. And the Bible says that the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Why? Because Samuel was the one that stood up. Samuel was the one that said, you know what, Israel, we are wrong. We are far from God. And church, we need these days, we need believers in Christ that have boldness. Believers in Christ that have courage. That say, you know what, man, we are wrong. Tell your neighbor, just in case, if you're wrong right now. Amen. You know what we're doing, it is wrong. We need to get right with God. Tell your neighbor, we need to get right with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. The reason why we're not winning is because we're far away from God. But no more losing, church. All we want is win. Win more for his glory and honor. Amen. I was going to sing that one song, but now I better chill. All I do is win-win, but you know what I'm talking about. In reality, that's what we do with the Lord. What do the Philistines represent? The Philistines, I mean, they could represent a lot of things. Your own ideas. Your own beliefs, your own theories, too much compromising. Come on, church. Too much compromising when we accept lower standards, when we know things are not right. That's a big one right there, church. We compromise too much. We lower our standards. Even when we know what is right and what is wrong. That's a Philistine right there. Because that Philistine is trying to steal and take away your territory. He wants to steal your blessing, so you can understand me. That's who the Philistines, that's all they did. They loved conquering Israel. The Philistines loved to watch Israel be defeated. You know, overcome them, get to them, get to their territory, and steal everything that belongs to them. So watch out with the Philistines. Amen. Because they'll come back. Right now you might be saying, you know what? Right now I'm winning. Right now we're overcoming. Right now we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. But be careful, because suddenly they'll pop up. Amen. But let me tell you something. But as long as you're walking with God, as long as you put Jesus first, hallelujah, everything is going to be okay for his glory and honor. So God's looking for, I know there's Samuels here that'll stand up for what is right. Verse 14. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel, look what the Bible says. The cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel, what does it say? Were restored to Israel. What happened? Israel began to regain all of its lost territory. How many here want your territory back? Everything that you know belongs to you. When you read this scripture right here, it's a picture of restoration. Let me tell you, church, anytime that you come back to God with repentance, you will begin to regain territory. You will see restoration in your life. Now, I don't know what needs to be restored back to you. I don't know what type of territory you've lost in your life. But you better believe, because that's a key word in the Bible, is to believe God. When you say, you know what, Lord, I'm serving you, here I am. I'm fed up of losing. I don't want to lose anymore. I want to win. And guess what? God will begin to help you to get that territory back. Everything will be restored to you if you believe. It might not be with everything at once, but little by little, you begin to see the hand of God in your life. You begin to see the blessing of the Lord. You begin to see everything falling in its place. Have you ever been there, church? When you say, you know what? I got to do things right. Right away, you begin to see God puts everything back together. God begins to restore everything together. Relationships begin to get restored again. Healing begin to get restored again. I mean, a lot of good things begin to happen in your life, because that's the way God works. Amen. And the Bible says that from Ekron to Gath, and Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. Two key words right there. Number one, Israel were restored. Number two, Israel recovered its territory. I don't know if you're seeing the picture here. Number one, you got to be restored first. Come on, church, you're too quiet on me this morning. Before you can see the recovery of your territory, you have to be restored first. Your heart has to be right with God. Hallelujah. Your heart has to be right with God. You need, see, some of you, we want the blessing, we want the victories, we want to win, but you don't want no restoration. You don't want to get restored. You still want to be dirty and ugly. Come on, church, this morning. But if you repent and you say, Lord, here is my life, here's my heart, restore me first, because that's what's most important, church. We want our children to get restored. We want the husband, the wife to get restored. We want everybody else to get restored, but we ourselves, we're not restored yet. Tell your neighbor, get restoration, brother. Sister, get restoration. Come on. I think it's funny when, you know, people throw dirt, people talk, people say about, you know, you need this, this, that. What are you talking about, brother and sister? You need to get fix your drama first before you're trying to fix other people. You want surgeries and all this stuff, you know, that. This needs to get fixed. Come on. You need to fix yourself. Hallelujah. You might be saying, what am I doing here this morning? God is speaking to you, my brother and sister. And you know what's powerful about this verse? Repentance always brings restoration. See, because God not only delivers from oppression, but he also restores what was lost. Now, let me ask you, what are some areas where you've lost territory? Could it be your devotion with God? Could it be unity in your family? These are just some of the things I wrote down. Could it be your finances needs restoration? Your health? Your holiness? Or just doing what's right? And the Bible says, and Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. And church, this morning, you got to believe that God's about to restore some things in your life. Restore you and restore other things. Amen. And it's time that you recover what's yours. See, you got to be bold, church. You got to be bold and say, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm going to serve Jesus. Amen. I think we've been a little too weak. Some of you might have, you probably just gave up already. I can't no more. Why can't with him or I can't with her? But a time comes, church, when you're restored yourself, like the Bible says, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, when you're full of God, you become anointed and you have boldness to stand up and to speak and take authority over things in your life. And see, when you know, church, that when we're not walking with God, we're weak, man. We see everything like, okay, that's fine. Don't matter. But it shouldn't be that way, church. You're the Samuel of your life. You got to stand up for what's, when it's right, it's right. And when it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen. We're living in times, the culture that we live in is that we're too much compromising. Amen. We don't want to speak up. We only speak about what's good, but we don't want to stand up when something is wrong. Come on, church. When it's a sin. And see, we forget, see, people play around with sin, but we forget that sin destroys. I'm going to say it again. Sin destroys. Are you with me this morning? Amen. Tell your neighbor. No, don't tell your neighbor. Tell yourself. Get right. And the Bible says that because of that, there was what? There was peace between Israel and the Amorites. There was peace now. Before there was no peace. That means that things are getting better and are better. But then I like what Samuel does. Look at the Bible, verse 15 quickly, right there, verse 15. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. You got to remember that Samuel, number one, he served as a prophet, a priest, and a judge. Okay? Now, many of you are here this morning. You might not be a pastor, you're not a minister, but you are a believer or a follower of Christ. Amen? And he also was a judge. But Samuel, and see, we can learn from Samuel. See, you might be a business owner. You might be a CEO. You might be, you know, a supervisor. Or maybe you're just a mother at home, a wife. Whatever you're in right now, I want you to learn something today, this morning. Samuel, his leadership was marked by a few things. Real quick. Number one, Samuel was faithful to God. Church, don't stop being faithful to God. Amen? Be faithful to God. Remember, the Bible clearly says that as long as Samuel was around, everything changed. The culture changed. In other words, because of Samuel, because he had what? A relationship with God. He had fellowship with God. Samuel was a great leader. And because he was a great leader, Israel began to win. And see, church, you're the leader of yourself, your home, your work. And things will be better and get better because God's on your side. But number two, not only was he faithful, he had integrity. See, we think that, you know, we could lowball the Lord. Because this is our mentality. Oh, well, you know, God forgives, you know, God. And this is the favorite one. God knows my heart. God knows my weaknesses. Come on, stop it. No, stand up and say, yes, God knows my heart. And I'm, you know, not doing things right. I need to do things right. That's why I go to God. So it's integrity. Spiritual. What do I mean by spiritual? Spiritual just means this. Is that you recognize it's God. Without him, the Bible says, we're nothing. Without him, we're nothing. And Samuel was different. In a crazy culture that he lived to. Remember Eli's sons? They were doing the opposite. They were getting drunk. And serving God. It's getting quiet now. Sleeping with all kinds of women. Oh, it's getting more quiet now. And they were just stealing. They were just doing bad. They were wicked, the Bible says. But Samuel was different. For those that say, you know what, it's because, Pastor, the times we're living, it's hard. No, it might be hard, but with God, everything is possible. I mean, if Samuel did it hundreds and thousands of years back, who says we can't? When the Holy Spirit, the power, the anointing, the presence of God lives in you and lives in me. Samuel was different. And see, you got to be different in your workplace, with your family, the friends. And that's why we need consistency. And Samuel, what he had, Samuel kept going. He didn't give up. See, you got to be the best version of yourself, church. And what I like about Samuel is that he judged all of Israel. I'm going to tell you right now what that meant. All the days of his life. In other words, he kept himself busy. Doing what God had called them to do. See, many of you, church, God, that's what God's calling you. God is with you. And you got to keep going. You got to keep doing what's right. I know, you know, God's in your life, but whatever you're doing, whatever it is you're doing at work, whatever it is, you got to keep doing and keep doing what is right. Don't follow, don't be a follower. You got to be the leader. Amen. You do what's right. You might be saying, you know what, well, they're advancing, but they might not be doing it right. You do what's right. And we need to learn to wait upon the Lord. To have that peace of mind. That it might be a little bit, the process might be a little bit slower, but guess what? I'm doing it God's way. I'm doing it Jesus style. Amen. I'm a believer that waits upon the Lord, which means I'm not just sitting around. I'm still moving. I'm still active. But everything I recognize that it's in God's timing. And when you look at, there's a man in the Bible, Caleb. Caleb, and see, we need to be like Caleb. Caleb, when he was 40 years old, when Joshua told Caleb, hey, go up, spy the land. And he did. Him and his partner, they went, spy the land. And he says, you know what? The land is good, man. The blessing is great. The grapes, the fruit are big. I mean, it's going on over there. So when he comes back, he tells Joshua what's happening. But then others that went too, they came back, but with a negative report. But there's a word that there's a scripture where he says, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Everybody might not be like me, but me, I'm following God all the way, man. And see, church, you got to follow God all the way. Don't matter what people think about you. Oh, you think you're a Jesus freak. So, remember, we used to get freakier before Christ. So, it's even better now. Amen. Freak for Jesus. Hallelujah. Some of you were crazy. Amen. It's so bad you don't even want to testify about it. But look at Joshua chapter 14, verse 9 and 10 real quick. It's going to get good. Look what he says. So Moses swore on that day saying, Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And look what he says. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Look what Joshua, Caleb, what he says. The Lord has kept me alive. In other words, saying, you know what? The reason I can do what I can do all these years, the reason I'm still on fire for God, the reason that even after 40-something years, I'm still on fire for God, it's all because of the Lord. And he told me, you know what? Matter of fact, he goes, I'm 85 now. I'm 85 and I still got the fire of God. I'm still in love with Jesus. See, that's what we want, church. Believers that are consistent, not temporaries. Yeah, because you got people, man, they get fired up for a little bit. And 85 years old, and he said, you know what? Okay, give me that mountain. 85 years old, man. Give me that mountain. And Samuel, that's what he did. He traveled. That's what the Bible says. He went from year to year on a circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. He what? He traveled. See, here's the key. I want you to get this. The reason why Samuel was successful and he lived a victorious life was that he got involved with other people. He loved people. Hear me, church, what I'm saying. He cared for people. Let me tell you something. You can learn something here. You want to advance? You want to progress? You want things to get better? Get involved with other people. Care for people. Hear me, church, what I'm saying. Love people. The Bible says that Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went, look what the Bible says. He went from year to year on a circuit too. In other words, he traveled. Year to year, he was involved. And he would go to all the Israelites and say, hey, how are you guys doing? How's the family doing? How's your walk with God? Are you still on fire for God? How's your children? How's your income? How's this? How's that? And he did that year to year. I don't know if you're getting to church this morning. You got to ask your children, how you doing? You got to once in a while ask your mom or your dad, how you doing? At work, your people you work with, how's your day? How are you doing? And the Lord gave me three keys of commitment, because you got to be committed. Samuel was committed. Notice that the Bible says he went what? From year to year. He was committed. And guess what? We need committed believers, church. So the three keys of commitment, number one, Samuel was focused. I'm going to give you the three F's. No, not the other F's. I'm going to give you the three. Three keys of commitment. Number one, focus. He was focused on God and on his mission. You need to be committed, church. You need to stay focused on that one thing that God has called you to do. If God called you to be the best mother, be the best mother. If God called you to be the best employee, be the best employee. If he's called you to be a CEO, be the best CEO. Amen. If God's called you to ministry, do the best for his glory and honor, but stay committed and stay focused. Focus. That's the one key. Let me give you the second key. You got to be faithful. Be faithful. When others aren't faithful, you be faithful. You're different. Amen. You're different. Stay faithful in what you're doing. If you've seen that God has been blessing you in that area and what you do, don't stop. Keep doing what you're doing. If it's not broken, why try to fix it? Keep faithful. Maybe, you know, God has blessed you where you bless other people. Keep doing what you're doing. Maybe you, God has put in your heart to pray for others, which nobody knows. But you see that ever since you started doing that, God has blessed you. Be faithful in what you're doing. Thirdly, finish. You got to finish, church. Did you hear me? See, a lot of people start, but they don't finish. I'm going to say that again. A lot of people start something, but they don't finish it. They're halfers. No, be a finisher. It's not how we start, it's how we finish. Church, it's how we finish. And as they say, finish well. I said finish well, hallelujah. Because it's not so much how busy you are. People can be busy, but you're not getting anywhere. But if you are busy, let us be productive. Where you see the blessing of God, you see the fruit of God. And that's what God wants in your life, in my life, church, is that not only be busy, but that we be productive. Finish well. I remember in, I don't even know why I joined, but middle school, I think, or I don't know what year it was. I joined this marathon. My Lord have mercy. Second to last. But something told me, you got to finish. Don't embarrass yourself. And it took me a long time. But I did it. You know what I'm saying? And see, some of you, you know, you, it's been hard. You know, you're halfway. And you're asking yourself, why am I doing this? Why did I start this? You know, this. And we come with all kinds of stuff. But church, finish well for His glory and honor. So that's what Samuel did. He judged. He was guiding Israel. He showed that he cared. Telling them, hey, don't forget about the covenant you have with God. And promoting righteousness to all of Israel. In other words, he would engage with people. See, that's what we got to do, church. Engage with your people. Now, not everybody's going to want it. But whoever wants it, let them have it. Not everybody's going to care. But you be the caring one. You ask questions. Learn to listen when you're talking to someone. Get involved in somebody's life. We need to learn how to fellowship. How to do community. How to work in unity. How to encourage one another. How to also correct. How to guide. And how to be accessible. Where people could actually, you know, talk to you. Don't hide out, church. A lot of people, even ministers, they hide. They don't want to talk to nobody. Like if you're that special. You're human like I'm human. Amen. And we need to shake it off, church. Thinking that we're better than others because we're not. We got to learn how to be humble. How to lower ourselves and talk to people. Because people, a lot of people go through stuff just like you're going through stuff. You have issues. You have drama in your life. There's situations that only God can fix. But you'd be surprised how God can use a person to be a blessing in your life. Amen. Amen. So you got to learn to be like Samuel. Samuel, he went everywhere with Israel year by year saying, hey, how's everything? And when there was correction needed, he would correct. Don't just be, there's too many pleasers. Pleasers. That you just want to be liked by people. What I've learned all my years, church, is that when you stand up for what is right, righteousness, people will follow you then. Not that, oh, I'm not going to say anything because, you know, they're going through this and that. Church, you're going through stuff, I'm going through stuff, but guess what? The difference is that we're still here. Oh, you know, no. Pastor hasn't called me. Well, you never answer. He don't text. Well, you don't reply. Don't complain. You change your number. You don't even say anything. You need like 14 numbers to get to you. Come on, church. God is good. I wasn't, but I'm going to finish it. So have a seat, Ephra. I'm going to finish this. Verse 17. Hallelujah. Notice that he was what? He was a very, I want you to get this, church. He was a very busy man. Samuel. How many know that it's good to be busy? How many believe that, church? It's good to be busy. But there's a right way of doing it. If you're going to be busy, but let it be productive. Amen? See, if you're so busy, I'm busy, but you're not productive or you don't see the blessing. I mean, things are not getting better. They're just getting worse. Something has to be changed. And see, Samuel, he did something correct. Even though he gave it all. Listen, he gave it all to his calling, his ministry. Just like you, church. See, one of the things, this is another thing, is that sometimes we can complain and we do the blaming. But lots of times, church, lots of times, we don't give it our all. Like, we can complain about our marriage, but you don't give it your all. We don't want to forgive, or we don't recognize when we're wrong. And we don't give it our all. What do I mean by that is that, I mean, when are you going to recognize and say, you know what, I'm wrong, and I apologize? Or even with ministry, I want God to use me. I want God to use me in the church. I want a ministry. But then you don't give it your all. You don't come to church. We can't count on you. Oh, it's getting, I know. You know what I'm saying? Or even with their children, we don't give it our all. We don't see change. We want to change in them. And I could go keep going and going and going. But see, many times, church, we don't give it our all. Samuel, he gave it his all. And that's why these are the results that he got. And let me tell you something. Good nowadays, it's not enough. We're talking about giving your best. Your best. Not good. Give your best. In other words, quality over quantity. And I know, because some of you are thinking, well, I thought you said that being busy. No. It's dangerous. Hear me. It's dangerous. Like, say me, I'm in ministry. It's dangerous when you can be involved so much in ministry. You could be involved so much in the things of God that you don't give time or make time for God. That's dangerous. You could be busy in everything, but learn how to make time for God. And that's what Samuel did. Samuel was very busy. He was locked in. But you know what he did? And I, right here, verse 17. Look what he says. But he always returned where? To Ramah. he would always go back to Ramah. Ramah, you know what that means? It means that there he made an altar. Do you know that that word Ramah, what it means to be high, exalted, lifted up. It was a high place. I don't know if you're getting this, church. Every time Samuel would give his all, he would always return, though, to Ramah, where he would get refreshed. He will always go back to the altar. That's the place where God was. Didn't Israel do that? When they were away from God, they what? They returned. They came back to God. Church, whenever you feel drained, you feel tired because you've given it all to the Lord, always come back to Ramah, because it's there in the altar of God where God's presence is. Right there, he will lift you up. Right there at that altar, God will renew you. Right there, you will get fired up for Jesus once again. But notice that he always returned. See, sometimes we get so busy, but we never return to the altar. That was a place of meeting God, the place of worship and devotion, the place where God's presence was present. And see, church, I invite you that you go back to Ramah. Jesus said, but you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And that's the beauty about God, church. It's like today, I preach the Spanish. And I'm just using an example, and you give it all. But I already know that I got to go back to Ramah, because I got to get refreshed. It's dangerous when you're busy and you get involved and you do everything, you give it your all, but you never go back to the altar. That's dangerous. And that's something you can learn, church, in life. Always go back to the altar. And it says, and I finish, but he always returned to Ramah for his home. His home was there. That was his home. You know that right there in that city? That was his birthplace. That's where his ministry was at. That's where God raised him up. Woo! In the altar. The altar. Church, don't ever forget where God took you out from. What God has done in your life. Don't ever forget the altar. Everything begins in the altar. When you humble yourself before the Almighty God. And it was there where he showed gratitude. There he judged Israel, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to ask you to stand.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.